Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody! Wake up, everybody! Need a little help, y'all. Yes, we need a little help.
Need
some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be.
Ain't doing alone.
You gotta be kidding me. That was a little technical difficulty. Anyway, wake up, everybody. This is your host, Earlene Green. And on behalf of FaithWalk Enterprises, we bid you and yours a very happy, safe, and prosperous new year. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. And I hope that you had a great day and that you're ready for another empowerment session. Tonight's show is a special one because it's going to be the first time that we will be graced with a co-host. Yes, a co-host. That deserves a round of applause. Yes, I was almost afraid to do that. Didn't want another technical difficulty. Anyway, our co-host tonight is a childhood friend of mine who, like me, was raised in Brooklyn and who is an advocate for community empowerment. And I'm so excited to introduce you to no other than Miss Lydia Temple. Hey, Lyd.
Good evening, everyone.
How are you today?
I'm marvelous. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I appreciate you being with us.
Absolutely. You're grateful.
Thank you. So, let's see. Let me jumpstart the conversation by asking you, what are you most excited about in this new year of 2016?
Well, Earlene, as you mentioned, we grew up together, and I've always aspired to be financially free, if that's a good term. I wanted to live my life with as little debt as possible, and I seem to have achieved what most people have only dreamed of in terms of waking up on a daily basis and not being concerned about a bill.
Mm. Yes, I know the feeling. I'm sure all of us can relate. All right, very good. So you're looking forward to financial freedom and stability.
Yes. Yes, as we enter into 2016, I have finally considered myself situated in a place where that is a true reality.
Right. And it's funny you should use the word reality, because I was just thinking that for so many of us, that's no longer a reality for us. You know, we don't see it as a reality because we don't see it as being attainable. But I'm hoping that by the end of this conversation, you know, people will change their thought process. You think that can happen?
I hope so as well. I hope so
good,
as well. We'll do our best.
Very good, very good. Okay, so at this time, I'd like to invite those live streaming the broadcast to enter into our chat room and just click on the chat button on the right side of the screen, and there you may talk amongst yourselves, post comments, or ask questions. And Lydia will be reading some of your questions tonight, so please feel free to jump in as quickly as possible. And those who are listening via the telephone, you may hit the number one key to make a comment or to post a question, or to ask a question, I'm sorry. So tonight's topic is Money Makeover in 2016. So it's the first show of the year, so I thought it befitting to start with a topic that not only is close to my heart, but it's such a struggle and a challenge for many of us when it comes to understanding how to value money and to develop a healthy and balanced relationship with our money. So let me share with you that I recently read about a Jewish businessman who calls black people liquid money. So his justification for doing so, he says, is because we give it all away, which creates a huge opportunity for other ethnic groups. And meantime, in the meantime, he says that we continue to consume and not own anything. And, you know, that was really hard to hear. And unfortunately, there are statistics that support that belief. According to a recent study by the Nielsen Company, African Americans were on trend to have $1.1 trillion in collective buying power by 2015. And we have achieved that last year. And according to a Slate.com article called or titled, "The Wealth Gap Between Blacks and Whites is Even More Enormous Than You Think." In this report, the median white family has a net worth of $116,000. And this indicates 41 million white households across the nation have over $116,000 in net worth. In comparison, nearly 40% or 5.6 million African American homes in the U.S. have zero or negative net worth. In addition, when you deduct the family car as an asset, the median black family in America has only a net worth of $1,700. So once again, we're lagging behind and at the bottom of the totem pole. And here to help us have this conversation tonight is no stranger to Wake Up Everybody. She's been our guest before when we had our conversation on dollars and cents. Her name is Dr. Dominique Reese. She is the owner of Reese Financial Services and creator of Master My Money, and Master My Money University. She is a personal finance expert, coach, speaker, author, blogger, and consultant with over 10 years' experience in the financial services industry. Hello, Dominique.
Hello, Earlene. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Very happy to be here.
Hey, how's that wonderful growing baby boy of yours?
Wonderful growing baby boy. He's doing awesome. Thank you.
Great. That's wonderful to hear. Say hello to Lydia.
Hi, Lydia. It's a pleasure to meet you and to share this show with you today. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Dr. Reese, and I look forward to conversating with you today.
All right. So let's get started. Dominique, tonight's show title is Money Makeover in 2016. And a financial makeover is something that you do with your clients all the time in your business. So please describe for our listeners what it means to make over your finances and what is the process by which someone is positioned to succeed at actually realizing that makeover.
Sure, I'd love to share more. So as you said, a financial makeover is really when you're ready for change. And I have to be very clear and say everybody's not always ready for change. They may think they are, but when it comes to a financial makeover, we're really going to uncover and reveal the traps and the things that are keeping you from realizing whatever your goals are. Now, I always like to say money is personal and it's behavioral. So a lot of times the things that you're seeing in your life that are playing out in your financial life really come down to the decisions you're making and the behaviors that you have. So part of your financial makeover, it's not just about getting the numbers in order. That's actually the easiest part. The most difficult part, which is why I say most people aren't ready for it, are the behavioral changes that must accompany the changes that we're going to see in the numbers. So part of that process is really diving deep, not just diving into the numbers, but we're going to dive into your mindset about money And then certain things like budgeting, which is a technique. It's an action. And a lot of times people say, you know, I don't have a budget or I don't want a budget, but it's a part of the process. And how you do it is really based on your own style. Then you're going to cover the numbers, the debt, the credit, the savings. You're going to look at those things and make it work for you, again, according to the goals that you have. Lastly, we cover credit and protection and income. So for my clients, those are what we describe as the seven core areas of your wealth foundation. And in your makeover, we're going to look at all those areas, dive deep, understand what's preventing you from reaching your goals, and then create a strategy for you to implement. And within the next 90 days of your makeover, you should be well on your way to implementing the things that we have in the strategy, but also seeing the changes within your behavior as well as the numbers.
Okay. So the makeover is about, it's about the numbers, of course, but it's also about your mental capacity. It's about, because your mental capacity dictates your thoughts about money and your thoughts about spending in terms of someone who might be a materialistic person or who spends heavily in that area. It could be emotional because people are emotional spenders as well. So you're saying that you have to really be willing to tackle the whole person, the whole dynamic of your being in order to make that adjustment and to see that transformation take place. I wrote a book, and in that book I talked about the fact that growth demands change, change demands action, and action demands faith. So you can learn all you want about financial principles, and you can even develop some skills, but it can't stop there. It has to go beyond that. Like you said, you have to tackle that mindset as well.
Absolutely, and I love the last part of what you said, the faith, because we are definitely focusing our business on incorporating more faith-based principles into our model, because what we're finding is that we're working with hardworking women of God, and we're starting to hone in on that. So I love that. It is definitely a faith walk as well when you're ready to get your finances in order. And it is difficult because a lot of times we don't want to face the music. We're not ready to dive deep. We may not be ready to uncover certain things from our past. So it is definitely all of that that you've just mentioned.
And I'm so happy that you're incorporating that faith component into the work, because I truly believe that we can't rely on our own strength to do this. It's too big. It's too huge. You know, the habits are too deep. It's too much. You know, we need to depend on God, you know. So I'm really happy to hear that. The next question, there are those of us who believe that no matter how hard they work and how much effort they put into achieving financial fitness, that it is unrealistic to imagine one day achieving financial freedom. What would you say to those individuals, and how do you define financial freedom?
Well, one, I'd say, I'll start on the second question. It's a lot easier. So the financial freedom. Financial freedom is simply defined on your terms, and I think this is where people get caught up the most. No one's financial situation is the same as the next person's. Given that, no one has the exact same goals. So I like to take your journey with money in terms of goals. And we're not a people who always set goals and write them down and make sure we're accomplishing everything that is required to achieve the goal. But if we did that, and we incorporated all of what freedom means to us as we define it on our own terms, then we'd see that we actually can achieve it. Now, me personally, my freedom is tied into the numbers, and by that I mean, you know, you can say financial freedom for me is when I reduce debt, when I have a certain amount of savings, when my retirement account looks like X, Y, and Z. But I like to also talk in terms of wealth beyond money. So for me, I want to achieve wealth. We're working towards wealth in my household through my business. And that's what financial freedom means to me. But that formula is actually my human capacity or my human capital, my intellectual capital, my financial capital, and my faith capital. Those four things to me define my wealth. And once I get those things in order as I see fit, then I will achieve the level of freedom. So I think everyone has to define that for themselves, but be very clear about what those variables are. What makes up freedom to me? A lot of times we don't ask that question. So start by asking that question. And then on the flip side, Dan, go ahead, Arlene.
No, I was going to say I like that you said that because I do believe the same thing, that it's subjective, you know. My ability to be financially free or my ability to feel as if I'm financially free is different for me than it may be for somebody else, you know. But in a general kind of, or I should say a more broad context, you know, we can attribute financial freedom to our ability to be free in our thinking about money, in our ability to manage what it is that we have in terms of our finances, to, you know, not put ourselves in the position where we are spending more than we earn, where we are overburdened with debt, and so on and so forth, you know?
Right. I think ultimately it comes down to peace. Because you can have all the numbers and they can look right, but what if, you know, what if you're taking care of family? And I've had clients who are in that position. They're not only working hard, but they're taking care of family, whether it's parents or aging grandparents or other people in the family. And even though their numbers are in order or getting in order, they still don't feel financially free because they worry. And they're worried about the things that they can't even control. So, again, I like to say you're right that it's very subjective. But even still, I think it ultimately just comes down to being able to have peace within your financial life, you know, being at peace with all the areas that matter most to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the fact that you threw in that concept about worrying, because you can have very little and not worry and have and feel a sense of financial freedom.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So one more question, and then we're going to go to the chat room and see if there are any questions in the chat room. So, Dominique, in my introduction, I mentioned that you are the creator of Master My Money and Master My Money University. And you told us a little bit about that in your opening. But you have a book, and it's titled 16 Steps to Solve Your Money Problems and Create a Financial or a Foundation for Financial Freedom. Tell us a little bit about that, and please share with us a couple of those steps that you have outlined in your book.
Sure. So this book has been years in the making, but we finally got it to a point where it made sense to me, because I wanted to be able to serve more women. And I meet so many people, but you can only work, you know, one-on-one with so many people. So for me, this book was a way for me to dump all that I knew on a basic level about how I work with my clients, how I help them get things in order with respect to those seven core areas of their wealth foundation. So again, that's going to be your mindset, your budget, your savings, your debt, your credit, your protection, and your income. All the strategies that I knew, I put them in this book. And then we said, well, we want to be able to have people be very methodical about it. So let's list them as steps. And ideally, after you've gone through the book, you've also uncovered and revealed a lot about your financial situation, because it reads more like, so you're going to be challenged to write in the book, you're going to be challenged to pull out your numbers, to pull out your statements, but everything is within steps. So, for example, I'll give you the first three steps. We start the book by asking you to identify your why now. because, again, I believe you've got to be ready for this change. It can be as simple as you make it, but it can also be a challenge. So, again, what's your why now? Why is it important for you to get your financial house in order? For most of the women that I work with, it's because they're tired of living paycheck to paycheck. They work damn hard for their money, but they don't see it, and they're tired of it. Or maybe they are coming upon a life event where they've got to get things in order. And if they don't, there are dire consequences that they don't want to have to manage. So maybe there's a higher sense of urgency. Or like now, you know, it's the new year. What a great way to start the new year, get your money in order. That's always been there. So whatever your why now is, identify your why now, because it's going to be important throughout your journey. The second step would be to recover from your money downfall. So a lot of times I know we get so caught up in our past with respect to money, the things that we used to do or the things that we used to have. I used to have good credit, or everything was good up until this happened. Well, those are the things that we want to just say, look, it's in the past. Forgive yourself. Understand why it happened and learn from it. But we've got to move on. And you can always, always, always recover from a money downfall. I don't care how bad it gets. It's not like I like to liken it to your health. Sometimes when our health gets to a point, the only thing we can do is manage it and hope that it doesn't get any worse. Although I've heard great stories of people, you know, totally recovering from things, but your health is so fragile. Your money situation, your financial health, gratefully, no matter how bad it gets, hit rock bottom, you can only go to the top. So you have to remember, you can always recover from your money situations. So step two is about doing that. It's about forgiving yourself, just simply flat out getting ready to move on from those things that have been keeping you from moving on. And then step three, for example, would be about understanding what's coming in and going out. So this is when you take a preliminary dive. In the book, we don't want to overwhelm you, so it's very self-paced. And at this point, we simply want to get you thinking about the numbers, prepare you for, you know, thinking in terms of numbers. Because, again, everyone is different. Everyone's relationship with money is different. So you don't want to throw too much at them at you know, too early in the process. So we just want to know, what's your average income? What's your average expenses? Do you know your credit score? There's a list of questions, more like an assessment, to say, hey, what's coming in and what's going out? So those would be the first three steps that you can expect when you read the book.
I love it. And so it's a interactive workbook, and it takes you through the process. I really think that that's extremely important, you know, because people feel that you are with them and they're getting the support that they need as they go through the various stages. And so that's great. And the first point that you made in terms of identifying the why now question speaks to our level of motivation. You have to be motivated. You have to be ready. You have to, like, you know, in some degree hit rock bottom, you know, so that you will stay the course. And I like that. And the second thing that you said about recovery, that is so great. You have to, you know, forgive yourself. And I think when you forgive yourself, it releases the pain that you feel for the mistakes that you may have made, the regrets that you may feel, and even the shame that some of us feel about how we have managed our finances for all these years. So that's great, Dominique.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I think I want to encourage our listeners to really get their hands on that book. And at the end of the discussion, we'll let them know where they can go and pick up a copy. So, I'm sorry.
So this is Lydia. This is Lydia, and I just wanted to say I'm so happy to be a part of this discussion, because one of the top search terms online today, according to Prolific Living, that people are searching and Googling is making more money. So, audience, you're in a great place, because this is exactly what Dr. Reese is sharing. Please jot some information down and help yourself grow towards financial independence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said, Lydia. Okay. So at this time, we'd like to ask if there are any people in the chat room who would like to ask questions, or if you are on the phone, I think there's a caller on the phone. I'm going to chime him in, him or her, and see if they have to ask a question. Let's see. Hello? Hello, you're live. Do you have a question? Hello? Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue for the next few minutes. The time is, it has gone by so quickly. But Dominique, what I want to ask is about the Mastermind Money 20-Day Financial Reset Challenge.
Yes.
And tell us what we pretty much have an idea of what the reset is now, the challenge to reset your thoughts, your words, and your actions about the money. But tell us, what is the process of that 20-day period?
Absolutely. So it's literally 30 minutes a day for 20 days where you're able to really reset your thoughts, words, and actions about money so you can create stability and success in your financial life. And this is really for women and men who are ready, again, to start over, whether that's by necessity or choice, or you're going to be in transition. So what I found, and this was a reset that I did based on my own personal experiences when I was at the bottom. When I was at the bottom, there was a point where you have to reset your thoughts. So, for example, day one, again, we start with, why are you here? You know, why do I need a financial reset? That's day one. So, again, always understanding your why. As you mentioned, Earlene, that is your motivation for staying the course. But it's also a way to kind of release yourself, right? You can get very clear about why you're here. Day two, how did I get here? What decisions did I make? So now we're going a little deeper. And again, it's not even about the numbers yet, because everyone thinks, okay, money and numbers. But it is so personal. It's so deep. It's very internal. And a lot of times you've never had this kind of an excavation into your relationship with money. So how did I get here? What decisions were I making? What actions was I taking? Day three, what am I financially ashamed of? And what am I financially proud of? So again, Earlene, you hit the head on the nail earlier. The nail on the head earlier when you mentioned being embarrassed and being ashamed, we have to learn how to forgive ourselves. We have to learn how to move beyond that, because if not, those things are going to continue to show up. Those are the behaviors we're going to continue to modify. So again, we're resetting our thoughts, our words, and our actions, because thoughts become words, words become actions. Day four, what is your mindset about money? What is a mindset and what is yours? So that's when we explore that. And then day five, for example, where were your mindsets born? I know a lot of times we say, well, I grew up and I saw my parents do X, Y, and Z, or, you know, the people who raised me or the people I looked up to did X, Y, and Z. Where were your mindsets about money born? What environment were they created in? Was it positive? Was it negative? And do you want to continue those mindsets? Do you want to stop them or do you want to change them? So these are the kinds of topics we cover on the challenge, but it's only for 30 minutes a day. So again, it's very creates structure, and then there's an accompanying workbook that we have for this challenge. When you come out, the idea is that you're renewed and you're ready to now take on that journey of resetting and getting your financial house in order.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds great. You know, while you were saying this, I thought about how when someone decides to embark upon this kind of a study or process, they are faced with some challenges.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them is you live in a household, you have, you know, with a husband and wife, you may have kids. It's challenge to get everybody on board.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's advantageous to you accomplishing your goal when everybody understands what you're trying to do and what you need to do to get your goal met. You know?
Right.
What do you know to be some of those challenges?
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up because we even covered that on the challenge. One of the days is about building your financial team. And your team doesn't just have to be about the professionals. We do suggest that. But it's also accountability partners or people that you can confide in who will keep you accountable because you're right. When you're ready for this journey, you go all out and you don't want to put yourself at risk to just revert to your bad behaviors. So we even suggest on the challenge that you let people know, hey, I need your help. I need you to join my financial team. This is what I'm doing for the next X amount of days, months, whatever. And here's what I'm about. I need you to hold me accountable. I want to bring you in. And then we also suggest on another day that you identify your bad financial influencers, people who may not be good for you, who's in your life, who could be that spouse, could be your significant other, could be people that live in your household, and they do present challenges. But again, when you're ready, you're not going to allow for that to hold you back. But there's a method to how you can even engage those people. It's not like you got to cut them out of your life, but you've got to become mindful of your thoughts, your words, and your actions and how you engage with people. It's like they say, you know, the 10 closest people around you reflect who you are. Well, if you look at the 10 closest people with whom you spend your money, more than likely you're going to continue to spend your money in that fashion. So you may need to change who you're around. You may need to change who you spend your money with. And it may sound ridiculous or it may sound like it's something impossible. Take it one day at a time. Take it one step at a time. And as you go through processes, as you embark upon challenges like the one that we have, you'll get the tools and the techniques to help you do that. But they do present real challenges for people. And what we like to do is just help them understand that you've got to start rebuilding. You've got to start surrounding yourself with the opposite of that which you're currently experiencing.
Wonderful. Absolutely. Seems like you covered all the bases. So, Lydia, is there any questions in the chat room at this time?
Yes, there is, ladies. There are questions on the line, and I have to say again, I'm so happy to be a part of this discussion. Reprogramming our subconscious mind is not an easy process, but Dr. Reese is helping clarify how that can be done. We have caller Angel, and Angel writes in, I'm a self-employed male, and I focus all my extra income towards reducing my debt and not saving. Is this wise?
I love these questions. So, Angel, I would say you do not have to reduce debt at the expense of your savings. I see that very often. When I work with clients, we don't sacrifice one thing for another. We do everything all together. And what you'll have to do is just simply understand how much you can afford to save, and that's without paying down any debt. It's a process. So of all the extra money that you're considering, that you're talking about, that you have, how much of that is going towards debt? Then you want to create a strategy that works for you in separating some of those funds towards savings. Now, if you were to work with a coach or an advisor may not do this, but a coach would definitely help you understand what the percentages should be so that everything's optimal, your debt's being paid down at a comfortable rate, but you're also saving at a comfortable rate. If you're not going to work with a coach and you're going to go it alone, simply understandable for you. Don't save at the expense of not paying your debt, and then don't pay your debt at the expense of saving. So you want to do both, but get the numbers to where you can be comfortable with it. Make sure the debts are being paid down, even if it's only at a minimum payment. If it's at a minimum payment, in order for you to save, you should do it. If you can bump up the minimum payment a little bit more, great. But you've got to start saving. If not, what you'll find is that when you're in an emergency or something comes up, you have nowhere to turn. You might have to turn back to your credit card. So now you're only going to increase the debt that you're paying down. So don't stop paying the debt, but simply divvy up your funds. start putting more towards savings. And if you need to reduce down to the minimum payments just to get a good strategy in order, do that. Once it's comfortable, start bumping up the minimum payments again, but continue to save.
Very good advice. So you have to create balance between the two.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, audience, how can you win a game that you don't know the rules to? I don't think that you can do that. So what most people do when they get knowledgeable or they excel in something is they get a coach. Everyone may not be able to get a coach, but swimmers, singers, and gymnasts all get coaches when they want to perfect something in their lives. Don't discount that and jot down everything that Dr. Reese is saying. For tonight, she is a coach.
Right.
Absolutely.
I love that. I always promote, you know, hiring someone to help you do that which you don't do well. Because you'll just simply spin your wheels or you won't get the results or it'll take you longer. When you hire a professional, do your research, of course, interview at least 3 professionals is what I always suggest to my clients. And we have a list of interview questions, so if anyone needs that, just let Earlene know and I'll be sure to get it to her. But take that risk, you know, step out and try to do something different this year. If you've been working on your finances, going it alone, do it different this year. Bring in someone to help you, and a coach could be exactly what you need.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why programs like this are important, because you can meet people that you don't know who have the skills and the talent and the expertise to help you along your journey. And those individuals oftentimes have materials and books and information that you know that will give you access to the information that you need to achieve your goals. So I'm really happy that you decided to join us tonight. Thank you so much. I think there are a few more people in the chat room. I have an indication that there are people who, not the chat room, on the phone who want to ask questions, but I'm going to try to get you on once more. When you hear me say, do you have any questions, just speak up, okay, because I'm going to bring you in on the call. So if you have any questions, those who are listening on the phone, please respond now. Okay. All right. Well, Dominique, that's all the time we have for tonight. Again, thank you for your time and for all that you do to empower our communities. Where can our listeners purchase your book?
Well, right now we are actually in the midst of the launch. So what I'd like to do is just say visit us at reesefinancialservices.com. And you'll get more information about when we launch. Earlene, I'll send you a personal copy of the book. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It will be available on Amazon and Kindle. So we want everyone to get on our email list to stay updated. We're going to drop in about a week or two. ReeseFinancialServices.com. And you can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So that would be the best way to contact us or get on our email list, and then we're going to promote within the next week or two once the book launches.
Okay, wonderful. Do you have any final thoughts?
Oh, just simply, you know, this is the year. The time is now, and you can achieve financial freedom. You can reach your full financial potential. I look forward to serving you, whether it's through blogs, articles, just being a resource. It's now time to take advantage of the information, and there's tons of information out there. So, again, Earlene, thank you and Lydia for the work that you do to create a platform for us all to be able to share the information. And I just look forward to being a resource to your listeners and to all those who reach out to us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dominique. Yes, you deserve a hand of applause.
Thank you, Dominique. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So, Earlene, you
Thank
know
you.
What I heard earlier today?
What's that?
Actor Jim Carrey describing his potential visualization technique when he was a nobody told Oprah Winfrey this sentence, "You have to do the work."
Yes. You do. It's not easy. And nothing worth achieving is easy, but it does take work. It takes consistency. It takes commitment and discipline, you know, but you have to want it more. You know, there's this cliche that says the pain of change is greater than the pain of staying the same. A lot of people embrace that. Have you heard that before?
I have, and I believe it.
Yeah. For so many of us, the pain of change is greater than the pain of staying the same. And that's why we stay the same, because we're familiar with that pain. We're comfortable in that pain. It's what
we
know.
So we do have a choice.
You do have a choice. Absolutely.
We do have a choice. And that's the good news. Yeah. We have a choice. And it's a process in the mind, as you mentioned earlier. So, audience, please do make a commitment to make a choice for yourself.
Yeah, and please make the right one. Okay, so now we're going to piggyback off of our conversation with Dominique, and we are going to talk to Mr. Lloyd Johnson. And Mr. Johnson is no stranger to Wake Up Everybody. He's been on our show in November when we talked about life's game plan. He is a retired financial planner and insurance agent, and he has been in the financial industry for over 40 years. So he knows a little something about this topic or this subject matter. And so, Mr. Lloyd, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. How are you tonight?
I'm feeling great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us once again.
I've been here. I was listening to your previous guest, Dominique.
Yes.
And enjoyed what she had to say.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we're glad that you're here tonight to talk to us about retirement planning, because it is a part of the financial planning process, and retirement planning is something that we all need to begin to think about at some point or another. And, of course, sooner the better.
Yes.
And I think I'll start by just asking you about the spending patterns, since we were kind of talking about that with Dominique. During retirement, spending patterns will no doubt have to change. But to what degree varies from person to person? What advice do you have for us when it comes to how to manage our cash flow in retirement? You know, how to manage what comes in and what comes out.
Okay, well, if you're no longer working, so your income is going to come from mainly from three places. One is Social Security. The other is a pension that you may have from your job, from your employer. And the other is from your own personal savings. There may have been an IRA, 401k, 403b, and so on. And those three areas are where your income is going to primarily come from, and that you have to manage. I suggest to people that they set up when you have – most of it is going to be coming in by direct deposit, like your direct deposit, Social Security, and your pension. I suggest – to people that the direct deposit go to their savings account rather than their checking account, so that whatever little bit of interest you can earn, because you're not going to earn any interest in your checking account.
Right.
So, and then as far as the money in your IRA, your 403B, and your 401K, if your pension and Social Security are insufficient, then you're going to have to draw down some money from your personal savings, and I include IRA, savings account, 403B, 401K plans type in that. You have to draw down, and the thing that people worry about is is it going to last? Like, am I going to take out too much? How much should I take out? So the question you're asking is, how long will my money last?
Mm-hmm.
And that you have to work on. There are calculators. You can Google some calculators that'll help you answer that question. How long your money will last? Because if your savings is let's say earning 5% interest or getting a return on your money, and you're taking out 10%, then eventually you're going to run out of money. So you have to strike a balance of how much and how long. So you find the calculators that you need to help you with that.
Right. And so I think that this is, I think this is a reminder to people that a financial advisor can be extremely helpful during this particular planning process,
Yes.
Because, one of the reasons why people end up going back to work and they don't plan to, they don't anticipate that they're going to have to go back, but they have to go back because the money runs out.
Because the money runs out, or they see it running out, and or they're starting out with not enough, so they have to go back. So you need to talk to someone while the money is growing before you get to that point, because once you reach retirement, you can't do like you do with education planning. There's no you have student loans for education. There's no retirement loans, and there are no retirement grants. Nobody's going to give you money because you retired. People will give you money because you want to do better as far as educating yourself, but nobody's going to give you because you retired. You have to plan for that. And the three areas that you're planning when you're growing is Social Security, which is the federal government's plan for your future, and the pension plan on your job, which is your employer's plan for your future, and then what you set up, either putting money in a 401k or an IRA, which is your plan for your future. And you have to pay close attention to what the government is doing and what your employer is doing, but you don't have control over it. You do have control over what you do with the money that comes into your pocket.
Right. And
Mr. Johnson, if I may?
Yeah,
yes.
Sure, ma'am.
I appreciate you being on the show this evening, and I'm imploring all the audience members to really listen to what you're saying, because the aged population of workers have definitely increased. How important can you tell us is the rate of inflation annually on your planning for retirement? Because you have a number in your head, but cost of living will go up. Can you speak to that?
The cost of living In the inflation is determined by the consumer price index that the federal government compiles. In many pension plans and in Social Security, generally there is a cost of living adjustment from year to year. Okay, unfortunately, going from 2015 to 2016. There was no cost of living adjustments for Social Security. So this period, going from 2015 to 2016, Social Security payments remained the same. The cost of living, the consumer price index was almost negligible anyway. So, but it is important. There were times when we had very high inflation, and your return on your investments have to reflect the fact that there is when there is high inflation. When you are retired, if you have money in an IRA or a 403b or an investment portfolio, it's not a good idea to become too conservative, because the cost of living is going to go up, and you have the three areas that I mentioned where you're going to be deriving your income. So Social Security, that's fixed, and generally there's a cost of living adjustment. And your pension is fixed, and generally there is a cost of living adjustment. So because you have those two areas that are guaranteed, you can be a little bit more risky, let's say, I'll use that word, risky, with your IRA and 403B, your other investments. And you can, you can, let's say, I would personally, I'm an aggressive investor, so you don't have to do what I do. But if your investments are, say, let's say 60% stocks and 40% income, say bonds, you're going to pretty much stay with or ahead of inflation. But you have to keep an eye on it, because from year to year, inflation, because the Fed increased interest rates recently, it was very small, you're going to have inflation is going to creep up also.
I have to commend Earlene Green on the title of her show, which is Wake Up Everybody. You just dropped a few things out there unbeknownst to myself, that there was minimal increase to meet the cost of living. So people, please, you know, snooze a little bit, but let's wake up and let's take part in this conversation about our future, because we all hope to grow old and have money to be able to live.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I want to kind of back up a little bit, because in my introduction, you know, we talked about the man who called black people liquid money. Mm-hmm. And so when I read through those statistics and saw that we had over $1.1 trillion in buying power, but yet we don't have any wealth. So I have to talk about, you know, our ability, or our need, I should say, to spend, and to spend frivolously sometimes and recklessly to the point where we can't keep anything that we bring in. Everything that comes in goes out. And that speaks to our ability to save. And based on what you've just said, that is going to create extreme hardship for us if we don't start saving now, because we're going to need quite a bit during our retirement years if we want to be comfortable. But spending patterns are also likely to change during retirement, reflecting both our new lifestyle and shifting of responsibilities. And when you retire, often nothing is being withheld from state and federal income tax, so you're going to be responsible for those taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, most retirees generally have to learn how to balance that spending and that saving, even in the retirement years, because you're not earning. So essentially everything that's going out is a part of your savings. What are some ways to continue saving through this period of retirement?
Well, one of the things that happens is whatever good or bad habits you have before retirement, you carry them into retirement. But it doesn't mean you can't change. Okay, one of the things you have to do is to, before retirement and during retirement, is to stop wasting money. Mm. You know, there are you should be saving money. You should be investing money. But I don't believe you should be gambling with your money. You know, we can money that you put in the bank, you have a guaranteed return on your money and a guaranteed return of your money. Money that you invest, let's say, in mutual funds, you have a reasonable expectation of a return on your money, and you have a reasonable expectation of a return of your money. Money that you gamble with, whether it's buying a lottery ticket or putting money in a slot machine, you have a guarantee, and that's a guarantee that you will lose your money. So you have to be careful with your habits. And,
absolutely, because gambling is a bad habit. And
yes,
yes, absolutely. But and I want to say that when it comes to controlling your assets during retirement, it's important
mm-hmm.
to keep your assets safe during your retirement years. So you may need to shift from low-risk investments to those that produce a more guaranteed rate of return. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I can speak to that, but if you want a guaranteed rate of return, you're going to have the return is going to be small, okay? Guaranteed return, because you look at what savings banks are paying you now. They're paying you 1%. It might go up to 1.25% soon with the Fed increasing rates. But if you want a good return on your money, you're going to have to invest it.
You have to
somewhere.
Risk more.
Excuse me?
Yeah, you have to risk more.
Yes, you have to take some risk.
Right.
And if you want a potential return, I'm not saying guaranteed return, but a potential higher return, you have to risk some more. One of the things that I suggest to people is to use mutual funds or exchange traded funds, and use the index funds. Okay, there are funds that are called index funds, and which the other mutual funds always try to beat the index fund, like I said, the one that mirrors the S&P 500, S&P 5000. Now, if you want to invest in somebody that thinks they can beat the S&P 500, why don't you just invest in the S&P 500? You know, and because some of those funds will beat them and some won't, but you're going to have a better return than you're going to have from savings. But if that money I think either you or Dominique was talking about when you have an emergency, you got to save some money in case of an emergency.
Yeah.
That money is not what you're going to invest in the stock market. That money is what you're going to put somewhere where you're going to have the guaranteed return, even if it's 1%.
Mm-hmm.
And you should have a what I call an emergency fund / opportunity fund, because an emergency may come up and you need to take care of it, and you got to be able to put your hands on the money right away. You can't be worrying about the stock market, so it's got to be someplace where it's guaranteed. And I call it opportunity fund also because sometimes an opportunity comes. Maybe it's a business opportunity. The person who called in before said he was self-employed. Okay, he's self-employed, so he's an entrepreneur. And he knows if a business opportunity comes up, he would like to have some money to take advantage of that. If all he was doing was trying to reduce his debt, then he's not getting himself ready to take advantage of an opportunity. So you need to have an emergency / opportunity fund.
Mr. Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman that you just spoke of is actually in the chat room, and he has another question. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
He has a universal life policy and expires in 10 more years, and he wants to know, is it best to buy a new policy or extend his current policy? And his additional question, second, is what is the best type of account to save, and is it best to do it with a bank or a credit union? So first, insurance, and second, how to best save.
Okay, the insurance is he has a universal life policy.
Yes, expiring in 10 years.
He must be talking about a term policy that's expiring, because the universal life policy doesn't expire. If it's a term insurance policy, if he still needs insurance, if he thinks he's still going to need insurance at the end of the 10 years, whatever the amount may be, then he should buy the additional insurance now, because it's based on your age and your health. Okay, the older we get, the higher the premium is going to be when you purchase the insurance. And the older we get, the more likely is we're going to have some ailments that we didn't have when we're younger. So if he needs more insurance, then he should buy more, either universal life or term insurance, or whatever his advisors think is best for him. But he should do that now if he thinks he's going to need it.
Okay, I think that probably what happened with Angel, he hasn't really clarified it. He may not be sure of the different titles of insurance policy, so hopefully that did help him in some manner. His second.
But listen, before you go on, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Say, for instance, that it is he did have a term life policy, and it expired in 10 years, and the 10 years have come up, and now the option is, does he extend that current 10-year policy, term policy that expired, or does he just go and buy another policy, which will probably be a universal policy as opposed to another term policy?
Well, he has to look into does he need more insurance in the first place? That's the first question he has to answer. I need more insurance? And if so, how much? You know, and the one of the ways you answer that is will someone suffer? Will someone else suffer financially if I die? And if the answer is yes, then you need to do something. And life insurance is generally the best way to take care of that. And my second question is. If your answer is yes, then I say, do you care? And if you care, then we'll do something about your insurance. Whether it's a term insurance policy or a universal life policy or a whole life policy, that depends on what his future needs are. Because term insurance is what it's called. You're insured for a specific term or time, and when that time is up, it's gone. He can't. He can do two things. Convert his term insurance to a permanent policy like a universal life or whole life, but you don't extend the policy. You can't extend the term insurance policy. You can buy a new term insurance policy or convert the current term insurance policy to a universal life or a whole life policy.
And it will probably make sense to convert it as opposed to buying a whole new one?
I don't know his I would need to know more about his financial situation.
Right.
His family situation, his business situation. You know, mm-hmm. He's in business for himself. You know, does he have a partner? If his partner dies, then his partner's heirs can come and buy him out. So they may need insurance for that purpose. You know, there are lots of variables. So you don't just buy insurance because I think I need insurance. You don't buy it if you don't need it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And that second question, Lydia?
The second question was, what is the best type of account to save money, and is it best to do it with the bank or the credit union?
You go where you're going to get the best return. If credit unions got better interest rates, then you go there. And you look who is, you know, I don't remember if there are FDIC extends to credit unions, but credit unions generally have higher interest rates. And it's easier to get a loan and so on. So personally, I would go with the credit union. That's me personally. But mm-hmm. investigate the banks and look at their interest rates and look at if look and see if they have certificates of deposit, savings interest, money markets, and see what those interest rates are. But and because that's if he wants to save money. Now, I'm not talking about investing. I'm just talking about saving.
Right.
Right. Absolutely. That's what he, well said.
Yeah. Okay.
Hopefully
good.
That answers the question for Angel. Hopefully this answer has been of some assistance, and he should definitely continue to tune in to Wake Up Everybody and feel free to go to the blog and get more information when the host gives you any data on what you can do.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. That's good. You know, we are out of time.
Oh.
That time went by fast. Was that you, Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
You have a lot more to say, don't you?
A lot more to say. I just wanted to add one little thing.
Sure.
Dominique mentioned something that was very, very, very important. I wanted to say it again, and that is having when you have plans for what you're going to do about your financial situation, get an accountability partner. Somebody that's going to help hold you accountable. That's very, very, very important. Because many people fall flat on their face because they don't have anybody else helping them or urging them or nudging them. But having an accountability partner is extremely important.
Absolutely.
Cheer that audience, get you a cheerleader. Get someone that will cheer you on.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. And someone who understands what you're attempting to do.
Yes.
You know, I think that's a great motivator as well. So, Mr. Lloyd, I have one more question for you. And we can go over our time. I mean, we have more time. So when you guys are listening to the podcast later on and you think an hour and 15 minutes is too long to listen to at one time, that's okay. Just listen to half the show, you know, and then listen to the other half later when you get more time. But we do want to give our listeners some great information to take back with them, and hopefully they will be able to apply it. I don't know when we're going to speak to Mr. Lloyd again. He may be getting tired of us by now, but I'm sure I'll be calling on you again at some point, Mr. Lloyd. But what I want to ask you is about the power of three. You know, when people talk about retirement planning, and mm-hmm. they understand that there's 15 years left before retirement, 20 years left before mm-hmm. retirement, 25. But mm-hmm. I think it's important for people to understand that retirement is not really about age. It's about numbers, and the numbers
yep.
the money that you have available to retire. So if you can retire at age 45, people retire at age 45 because they have the resources to do that. And
yes.
you don't necessarily have to wait until you're 65, 70 years old.
No.
Mm-hmm. So when I mentioned the power of three, that's time, how long you save for, that's money, how much you save, and that's return, how much your investments earn. Do you
right.
agree with
mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and starting as soon as possible is key. As soon as possible. As soon as you can. As
right.
early as you can. When you first... If you get a job as a teenager, don't spend 100% of the money. But a teenager is going to spend 100% of it anyway. But
mm-hmm.
try not to spend 100%.
Unless you teach them better. Some teenagers are really good with their money.
Right, but you
but
should
they, you
never.
Know, they need to be trained. They need to be taught.
Yeah, but you should mm-hmm. never spend 100% of any money that comes into your hands. Okay, you have to save at least 10% of it, and give away tithe. If you tithe, if you're not a tither, then give away. find a charity to give at least 10% to. Okay, ideally, it would be a good idea to save 25%, tithe 25%, and then you do whatever you want to do with the other 50%.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of tough, but you can put that as a goal. And I know someone who had that at a goal. Someone who lives in we're in New York. Someone who lives in Florida near Orlando, who had that as a goal, and he reached that goal to where he now tithes 25%, saves 25%, and he spends 50%.
Wonderful.
That's a tough act to follow and a good act to follow. But you know what I heard, Dr. Johnson, really quickly, Mr. Johnson, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It may be difficult, but you know what's more difficult? Not having a dollar.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely. Again, it's a choice that you have to make.
But if you have a dollar, save a dime.
Right.
Save a dime, tithe a dime, and then you have the other 80% to do whatever you're supposed to do with.
Yeah. We
Absolutely.
Have to condition ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So wake up, everybody. That's all the time we have for tonight. Thank you so much, Mr. Lloyd. We appreciate you being with us.
It's
I was going to just ask if anyone is interested in talking to you, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can email, send me an email at kingdomspeaking@gmail.com. Kingdom Speaking is just one word, continuous. KingdomSpeaking@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, just don't spend all of your money. Do not spend all of your money, and set up an emergency fund and an opportunity fund.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
I
appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Erin Green, you are dynamic.
Thanks, Lynn. I enjoyed you being with me today. Thank you so very much. How did you enjoy the show?
Welcome. I enjoyed myself immensely. I appreciate the invite.
Wonderful, wonderful. So what is your one takeaway, Lynn? Out of everything that was said tonight, what is your one takeaway?
My one takeaway is that I'm glad I learned early to hold a little bit of a dollar. It was good advice passed to me very early, and I am living proof that if you follow that, you can be somewhat successful in this game of money. And it is a game. The numbers don't lie. So I would just validate that statement wholeheartedly. Don't spend every dollar you get.
Right, right. Okay, wonderful. You know, I have several takeaways, but I really want to emphasize that, like other aspects of financial planning, managing the income that we will receive during our retirement years requires careful planning, and it requires an assertive effort. It is critical that we don't wait until we retire to start making our financial plans. The sooner we begin to reassess our financial status before our retirement, the better off we are going to be, and the more likely we will be able to determine whether or not we need to defer retiring or even retire early, you know. And most importantly, we need to talk to trusted financial planners who will be able to help us to determine our specific needs. So we're having this conversation tonight because it's an important one to have. Lydia, I am determined to have frequent discussions about financial planning and fitness. And some may ask, how many times do we need to listen to programs and or attend conferences and seminars on the subject of money? Well, I think as many times as it takes to make a complete transformation in our mindset, in our attitudes, and in our bad behavior when it comes to money. So I hope it is, you know, my hope is that you know, people are talking, people are thinking about what they've learned, and I just hope that, you know, the education that we are providing will empower someone, and even if it's just one someone, you know, that's good enough. So it's worth it, you know? And
absolutely.
So, yeah. So, Lydia, any final thoughts before we close out?
I would just like to thank you once again for hosting such an event. I think that the conversation of money scares people. And when you have venues like this, people get to get some real information, things they're afraid to ask, or things they're embarrassed to let their neighbors know, because everyone has on the facade that they're doing just wonderful. So
wonderful.
This is absolutely, absolutely a great venue where people can get true information and follow up and start to take control of their life.
Right. Absolutely. Wake up, everybody. So what I want you to do now is let us know how you enjoyed the conversation tonight. Just go to our website at www.faithwalkent.com and click on the Contact Us page and just go to our comment box and leave a message for us. And like us on our Facebook page at Faith Walk Enterprises. You can follow me on at Earlene G, that's G-E-E. And, if you are listening via the Blog Talk Radio episode page, please click on the ads that you may see there, because that helps to generate points, and which creates a little minuscule revenue for the show, but nonetheless, revenue is revenue, and so we're grateful for that, but we need your help, so don't forget to click on those ads. And you know, we always leave you with a Bible scripture. I want to challenge us all to commit ourselves to wanting to be made well in our finances by ridding ourselves of the kind of mindset and attitude that promotes behavior about money that distorts our decision-making process, enslaves us, and brings us under subjection to worldly temptations, bad habits, and fleshly desires. So let's realize a money makeover this year in 2016. Let's do it. We can get it done. And I want to thank you for listening. And our scripture for tonight is, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what's God's will and his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then. Thank you, guys. Take care. See you next time. I'll talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. We